Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, continuing our show here on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, it's a pleasure for me to welcome in the studio Kim States, who's president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau. How are you today, Kim?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. Well, really on a roll. I mean, wasn't our last guest, I mean, she was just hair on fire, excited about what she's doing.
Very passionate.
From Tarun and Chul. And I know you are the same. Let me give a brief introduction. Kim started her career with the Better Business Bureau as Director of Public Relations nearly 5 years ago. And in this position, she led several investigations into regretfully unscrupulous businesses with the aim of protecting local consumers from various forms of fraud through media outreach. For the past 2 years, she then has served as president and CEO of this 2,000-member business organization. Born in eastern Colorado, Kim grew up on a farm and ranch operations and graduated high school with a big whopping class of 10. She attained a Bachelor of Arts in Journalism from Colorado State University and wrote for several newspapers in the West before moving into the field of public relations, working in various industries, including economic development, retail, nonprofit, and behavioral health. And just still squeaking under 40, Kim is one of the youngest CEOs in the network of 120 Better Business Bureaus in North America and was named a 2010 Women of Influence by Inside Tucson Business. She moved to Tucson with her husband, John, a native, in 2005 and has the best stepson in the world, Garrett, who is 9. And I assume Garrett is listening to us right now.
I hope so.
You hope so. We'll get him the podcast, if not
great.
That. Well, congratulations, Kim, for everything that has brought this journey. So the journey from a high school of 10 students to now seeing how your career is unfolding. It must be just one of those wake up situations.
Very interesting. I'll say that I always tell people, you know, the title of CEO was never on my radar, but I'm very, very thankful that I'm here right now.
Yeah. Nor do I bet that you'd also be running what I would call, in some regards, a virtual organization.
Many
is that
ways.
Fair?
Yeah. In many ways.
So for those listeners who aren't aware of it, I'm sure many people know the Business Bureau by this kind of stamp or seal of approval, but they may not understand really what is all involved in your entity. So tell us about what is a Better Business Bureau.
Yeah. Well, you know, we differ in so many ways from other business leagues. And while those other business leagues do bring a great deal of benefit to the businesses in our community, the biggest separation, I think, is that we serve consumers as well.
Yeah.
So we have to keep in mind the needs of the businesses and in our community as well as what consumers need. And we do that mostly on the web.
Mm-hmm.
We've had to change over the course of our 100-year history to adapt to the way consumers behave and do their research. And it's a very fast-moving train. And so we're finding we're constantly adapting to meet that.
Now, did that happen? What we're talking in the last, what, 5 to 8 years that would be so web dominant now?
I would say maybe even 10.
Okay.
You know, more than 90% of the business we conduct with consumers is online.
That people are contacting you with questions or concerns or actually filing complaints then?
Both. All of the above. You know, this office that services Southern Arizona had 500,000 provided 500,000 instances of service in 2010 alone.
Wow.
What that means is, you know, consumers are coming online or they're still calling us. There are some people who still aren't comfortable with the computer.
Mm-hmm. Or don't have access
or
to one
have
or don't
access.
Have the skills. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're coming to us primarily for pre-purchase research. You know, most people tend to associate Better Business Bureau with that kind of negative idea of complaints.
Right.
And while it is a very critical service that we offer and free to the community, it accounts for the least amount of service that we provide each year.
Is that right? So what percentage of your service would you say?
Oh, less than 10%.
Really?
Yes.
And I think you're right. Most people view it as, well, I'm going to call the BBB to, you know, tell on you, but no.
They do. And yeah, we processed about 3,300 complaints last year out of those 500,000 instances of service. The rest of that was helping consumers find information on businesses And we don't report just on businesses in Southern Arizona. I mean, consumers can find reports on businesses anywhere in the country and up into Canada just through our website.
Because of your website and that connectivity of the 120 of
yes.
you. Wow. The so the kind of research that your organization can put people, you know, in mm-hmm. touch with, is it product based? Is it mm-hmm. service based? It's anything in that?
You know, it's we are a reporting agency and it's really behavior based. How is a company behaving when something goes awry? And so consumers, when they access a report from BBB, they may find that we don't have a lot of information because maybe we've requested it and the business either chose not to or couldn't provide it. But in most cases, if they access a report with BBB, what they're going to find is basic information, how to contact the company, and if there have been complaints, how did the company respond to those complaints?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, there's entire web-based companies now, for example, that are servicing employee job searches for mm-hmm. this very same reason, that they're going out and they're wanting to do their own homework on a given company before you get mm-hmm. there. What's interesting is that these companies are allowing some of these web-based organizations to come in and actually survey their employees because transparency, you know, look, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. In other words, you've got to be into that mix because even if you choose not to share something, even if it's good news, people will find out in this age of information.
Absolutely. I mean, consumers are more empowered than ever. And we do have employees, but, you know, who are job searching, who will pull a BBB record to look at mm-hmm. a company's report. We also have businesses that do that. If you're looking for a supplier or
exactly,
a vendor, you want to know that, you know, there's nothing awry there. So
the kind of reporting information that is available to people, is it information you folks have actually collected or created or authenticated mm-hmm. or Wikipedia-ized, so to speak, shall I say? You know, is it? How do you know what you got is really, quote, the truth?
It's monumental, and we rely on the business. It's that transparency word. We rely on the business to be transparent with us, and we have to trust, particularly our accredited businesses, that they're providing us with the correct information. But we also recognize that we have to do a certain amount of legwork on our own.
And due diligence.
Yes.
So the kind of people that are doing that due diligence, mm-hmm. Are they those really trained in, you know, business management practices, ethics practices? I mean, what would that portfolio look like of the type of people that are in tow with you to make sure the information you share with the consumers is the real deal?
Yeah. We rely heavily on a staff that's very passionate about what they do at Better Business Bureau and our mission in the community. And they are pulling records from you know, files to make sure that the company is properly licensed to do business in our state. If it's an industry that requires professional level licensing, mm-hmm. that it's current, that there are no issues with that license. We can only take it so far. We're checking government actions. Have they been in trouble with the Attorney General, the Federal Trade Commission? Those are the things that we're looking at. And then we monitor. Now, these are for our accredited businesses. You know, we maintain over 20,000 records at this BBB alone. In 2000, so approximately 10% are accredited. Those get thorough vetting. Not every company in our system has that thorough vetting. It's a voluntary process.
So in other words, these are or that people join the business, mm-hmm. the BBB, who want to get accredited, so they go through some sort of, you know, step-by-step process of exposing records and process. Mm-hmm. Because I know many of us consumers, of course, you go right to webs or you look at, you know, in the past you went to the library. And one of the things you get influenced by, of course, are testimonials. Mm-hmm. from current clients, prior clients, colleagues in the field. And, you know, we have to be mindful that some of that really is major public relations and spin.
Yeah. Right. There tends to be that going on. And we find, too, that if somebody's has a passionate message to share online, it's maybe not a very nice one. They've had a bad experience. Mm-hmm. You like to think that if they've had a great experience that they're going to share that with their fellow consumers as well.
But, you know, we don't take time. No. Just in our society in general, we don't take time to say thank you, but we do take time to vet the other dynamic. And, of course, we know that, what is it, that, you know, for every one complaint, you know, it actually affects 10 people negatively, mm-hmm. as opposed to one compliment could affect one-to-one.
Yeah. And that's even far different in today's online world, because consumers now, you know, much of what they post can go viral, and it can go viral very quickly.
Very fast, yeah.
There's a book that's Satisfied Customers Tell 10 people, dissatisfied customers will tell 10,000 now just because of the viral nature of social media.
Mm-hmm. They could take it on. Now, what would make your organization different from other online consumer review forums? I mean, I'm thinking of like the good old granddaddy Consumer Reports from my automotive days. We used to just cringe when we pass over one of our newly minted Corvettes and Camaros to the Consumer Reports folks, who at the time were not that car savvy, but you never quite know what you were going to get back.
Yeah.
So what makes your organization different from others?
Well, again, we're not reviewing product. We're reviewing we're reviewing customer service, essentially. And the difference in our process is that there are many opinion-based forums out there, as you just stated, and it's not necessarily an invalid resource for consumers to use. I think you have to look at various, you pull your information from various sources. Mm-hmm. Our process is different in that if a consumer comes to us with a complaint, the business is given that complaint and given an opportunity to respond and resolve that complaint. So our process is intended solely to reach a resolution that's fair for everyone involved. It's not to put a black mark on a company's record. That's not what the intention is.
So it's not the watchdog in that regard.
Yeah, I think oftentimes business owners are particularly interested to hear us say that. Mm-hmm. But we recognize that trust is a two-way street, and that I think we all expect businesses to behave ethically and in a trustworthy, transparent manner. We also expect the same from consumers, and we look very closely at that at Better Business Bureau.
Hmm. You're right. There's a two-way street. That's very well said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had mentioned earlier in the introduction that your career in public relations had you involved in economic development. So it must be very interesting for you to be in the mix, but yet in this very distinct space within economic development. Yeah. At least in our area, since Tucson is so dependent upon small and medium-sized businesses. In fact, even the term small business for Tucson, 5 employees or less, or 20 employees or less, is uncommon compared to even other parts of the United mm-hmm. States. So your function is really important, is it not, for communities that are so based with the smaller entrepreneurial businesses?
It is. If we look at how businesses behave, and if they are not responding to complaints, or if there is an underlying cause of complaints at the business, and this is really regardless of size, but small businesses are particularly prone. Eventually, they will have to close their doors. Consumers are watching and they're talking, and you can only engage in bad business practice for so long before it will have a result.
It's going to catch up on
you. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So you've been in this new role now for 2 years. Was it a surprise when you had the opportunity to step up from the previous role to now being CEO?
It really was. It was a surprise, and it was an honor to be asked. And and it was an overwhelming, to say the least.
So tell us some of the learnings now. You've been in the role for several years.
Yeah,
that's a deep sigh.
It's been a lot to
learn. Well, particularly you've hit it at a time when absolutely, crash and burn, flip upside down, etc., that the economy's going in.
Yes, I came on when we were, the economy was really starting to turn, and there were many concerns about how our membership would maintain. Would we see a dip? Would we see it, remain stable?
And how many members do you have now?
Just under 2,000.
2,000, okay.
Yeah, and we've maintained that number for about the last 2 years. I mean, we haven't seen tremendous growth, and we haven't seen tremendous loss. It's been a fairly even line, and I think probably most member-based organizations in the community have probably seen the same thing. But I think the biggest lesson for me was to really not let fear get the best of me.
You got it.
And
right.
To trust my gut and go with it. And that can be a hard lesson to learn when you're in the seat making decisions.
Well, also, you're also managing a staff. I think your number is 13.
Right.
But then you have your accountability to your board.
Yes.
And has that's an important accountability nature of it, isn't it?
It's the only way it works.
Right?
You know, their function is to govern, and we're also governed by the Council of Better Business Bureaus. You know, they hold us accountable to certain standards as well, so that we're behaving and conducting business the way we're supposed to be. So, answering to a board of directors is certainly something new to me. But we have a fantastic board who's hands on, very involved, roll their sleeves up, and has the best interest of the organization at heart.
Yeah, and have they been on your board for some time?
Some have. Yeah,
right, we've got new. Some of your best trainers or teachers can be those who've been around a long time. But, you know, for your organization, though, to step in and realize you had to become so web savvy, that's important. I think all of us are aware of some people really dragging their feet, and particularly, you know, you cited the number, 100-year-old institution. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't be around if you weren't embracing change.
Right.
Then.
And sometimes a 100-year-old institution, when you have 120 BBBs across North America who are being led by different CEOs and independent boards, that can be a challenge to get our minds in the same place and put our sights on something and get there in a quick and efficient manner. And it's something that the organization has struggled with, but I think that we're starting to overcome some of those challenges, and we're just getting ready to launch a new, more dynamic, content-rich business review, you know, which is the review that you pull up on the companies. And it, you know, granted, it's taken us a while to get there, but we recognize that if we don't keep moving forward and listening to both consumers and businesses, that we won't be relevant.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Now, 120 Better Business Bureaus, but yet we know we have countless more cities in our nation. Is there any trend that makes it more obvious that a certain city or region has more triple B's than others, or types of nature of business or industry, or
there isn't really. We try to service the entire country with those. You know, so you'll find some states have multiple offices. Here in Arizona, we have two, and we effectively, you know, we cover Southern Arizona, and the Phoenix BBB has the rest of the state, but the location of those BBBs are placed in a way that we can service everyone.
But, you know, the classic model of the Chamber of Commerce, for example, nationwide, is in a total upheaval. That the days of, you know, pancakes, parties, and parades, that, you know, and I don't mean to sound denigrated in that, but really the reason now why should I join a chamber of commerce is really kind of got a lot of business people questioning it. And then also the regionalization needs. It's, you get so many chambers in some area and they start competing against one another.
Yeah.
So the fact that we have two outposts here for the Better Business Bureau here in the state, but if I heard correctly earlier, one of the services you provide to members is all those links outside of our area, which if they intentionally are looking to grow their business, that's really important.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, the way that Better Business Bureaus are structured is if we each have our own service areas as defined by council, and if your zip code as a business owner is in that service area, that's where your report is housed, and should consumers need to reach you, we would help you with that. If you have multiple locations, of course you have the support of those BBBs in those communities as well. Or you have the option of saying, listen, I want my headquarter location to be the only location that's handling consumer concerns. So
I'm sure we've got listeners who run their own businesses that haven't thought about joining the Better Business Bureau. Right. What all's involved? How much does it cost? The length of the review process? Educate us a bit.
Right. You know, what we're asking when somebody looks to join the BBB is that they agree with our standards for trust and that they make a formal commitment, you know, to say, yes, I support these. And those standards are, you know, I think most businesses operate under these standards if they're a successful business anyway. It's just being able to put it out there and say, hey, I honor this publicly. And we're talking about building trust. That's one standard. Advertising honestly, telling the truth, being transparent, honoring promises, being responsive, safeguarding privacy, and embodying integrity.
And are members also both for-profit and non-profit organizations?
We have a separate program called the Wise Giving Alliance that allows us to assist donors in making wise giving decisions to charitable organizations. We do have some nonprofits who can become accredited with Better Business Bureau because, let's face it, in some cases a nonprofit or tax-exempt status doesn't mean you don't behave like a business.
Absolutely. In fact, I would say there's more and more expectation that you do behave like a business with the kind of metrics and yes. expectations to feedback to your
yes.
donors.
So even if a company is interested in being able to tout that, you know, they support these standards and our idea of self-regulation in the marketplace, mm-hmm. It's a matter of contacting us, and then we take a look at how long have they been in business. We start the initial vetting process, and the cost really varies on this. It's based on the size of the business. We look at the number of employees, and so it can range anywhere from, you know, $375 upwards from there.
Per year, mm-hmm. per year distributed.
Yeah, that's
and then is there an annual or biannual recertification process then?
Every year we're taking a look at that business again and making mm-hmm. sure that all their licensing
right,
is current,
so.
There hasn't been a pattern of complaints,
right.
you know, all those good things, and so then we do recertify at that time.
That's very good. Well, any of our listeners who'd like to get in touch with Kim, the website is tucson.bbb, no surprise, mm-hmm. .org, or the telephone number is 520-888-6161. Before we lose you from this wonderful half an hour segment, Kim, what's been some of your major personal lessons learned, you know, from a career standpoint yeah. now at this phase of your life? You're so young with so much responsibility. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Where you feel like maybe you're walking on pins and needles, and what might you offer others that are thinking about a big jump like that?
Yeah, I think you have to, as I mentioned before, overcome your fear and really embrace the opportunity and look at it as a learning experience and recognize that you're not responsible for the happiness of those around you. Mm-hmm. You can do everything you can to support them in their success, and I'm speaking about employees, mm-hmm. and make sure that they embrace what you're doing, but you ultimately aren't responsible for their happiness, and you know, you have to keep sight of where are we moving, what are our goals, how do we get there, and are you on board?
Right. And I think that same philosophy probably has served you well as you work with your various constituents, both the consumers, you know, and for
the clients. Yeah, I sure hope so. We try.
That's great. Well, Kim States, thanks so much for joining us here on Circles of Change, and another terrific resource. And so when people would go to the Better Business Bureau site, mm-hmm. I assume it's you know, web-friendly, engine-friendly. They can type in the name of an industry or a business and pull
right.
up that
can search by name, company name, industry, phone number.
Oh, that's great. Terrific. Well, Ken, thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to watching that. Another service to building a stronger community, both business and otherwise, here
Thank
for us
you.
Here in Tucson.
It's a pleasure.
Excellent. Great.
If you're looking for 360-degree private or business banking solutions, National Bank of Arizona is a place to go. Founded 25 years ago in Tucson, the now 70 National Bank of Arizona branches are spotlighted for their premier reputation. Innovative financial solutions day in and day out in over 50 of our communities. Visit nbarizona.com to find a location nearest you. National Bank of Arizona, the only bank you need. Member FDIC. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.